Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Childcare costs, we know, have a major impact on many household budgets, with the bill often being referred to as a second mortgage. And there have been promises from many political parties over the past number of weeks about investment in the sector. There are experts who believe a complete overhaul is needed. So with that in mind, we wanted to take a look around Europe to see where our neighbours are getting it right and perhaps getting it wrong. We'll go to Belgium first. Kira Carolyn is a reporter with the Brussels Times, and Kira is on the line now. Good morning, Kira.
Hi, Claire, how are you?
Good. Tell us how childcare works where you are.
Yeah, so in Belgium, much like a lot of other things in the country, childcare here is very much determined by language division. So Flanders speaks Dutch, Wallonia speaks French, and both languages, along with a lot of others, are spoken in the capital, Brussels. So depending on what language you want your kids to speak when they're growing up, you can go to one of two organisations, one French-speaking, one Dutch-speaking. And both of these organisations recommend different childcare options, saying how safe they are and how legitimate they are. Mm-hmm. So there's creches, daycares, childminders and community-led initiatives as well. Public childcare is available for all Belgian citizens, and this is subsidised. But because of really long waiting lists, a lot of parents have to turn to private childcare as well.
OK, and that's not subsidised, is it, the private option?
No, it's not. And this can cost up to €800 a month, which is considered very expensive and unfeasible for a lot of families.
OK, so if you can get the subsidised childcare, what's the cost for parents?
The average cost is between €268 and €37.87 a day. The average in Flanders, based on stats from 2022, was €14.16 a day.
So €2.68?
Yeah, it can be between €2.68 and €37.87 a day.
Okay, so that's very good value if you can access it. And is it well staffed? Is it well resourced?
No, so the sector is one of the worst hit by staff shortages. It's very difficult to retain staff or even to get them in the first place because of very low pay and financing issues. And this has led to big issues in the past. So there was a big abuse scandal in 2022 when a six-month-old child was actually died following abuse in a creche. And this led to a lot of different audits and reports, which all concluded that multiple complaints about poor behaviour from staff were never followed up on. So this really goes to show how deep-rooted the problem is here. Mm-hmm.
And clearly, as a result of that in 2022, it must be high on the political agenda now, is it?
Yes, absolutely. So a lot of parents are struggling with the shortage of creche. Like I said, a lot of them have to turn to the private sector. A report from last year showed that 61% of parents struggled to find a place, 23% didn't find one at all, and 33%, and 23% were forced to either reduce their working hours or quit work altogether due to a lack of childcare options. So this has, as you say, led political parties to prioritise this issue in their manifestos for upcoming national elections on the 9th of June. And for example, the Belgian Green Party wants to create 5,000 additional spaces. And the French-speaking Liberals, called Mouvement Reformateur, have placed the emphasis on providing for working families. And on that note, I think it's really important to mention that earlier this month, there was a decision made in Flanders to reduce the amount of spaces allocated for vulnerable families, so where parents aren't working, from 20% to 10%. With the explicit intention of prioritising working parents.
Okay.
And this has been challenged by the Constitutional Court as it's considered nearly undemocratic.
All right. Hardly surprising that the challenge is there. Kira, thank you very much. Kira Carolyn there, who's a reporter with the Brussels Times. We'll go to the UK now. Maya Oppenheim is women's correspondent with the Independent UK and author of The Pocket Guide to the Patriarchy. Maya, good morning to you.
Good morning. Hey.
So tell us what supports families in the UK get to help with childcare costs.
So there is free childcare provision supplied by the government, but you know, it's one of those things, it sounds a lot better on the tin than it is in reality. The childcare system in this country is chronically underfunded. Lots of nurseries are closing their doors. So trying to access free childcare supplied by the government is very difficult in reality. There's basically an affordability and an accessibility crisis. The UK is one of the most expensive childcare systems in the world. You know, for many women and parents, it makes no financial sense to work.
So does that mean then that a lot of parents are forced into private arrangements and can't avail of those state supports?
Yes, essentially, basically, yeah. I mean, the childcare crisis in this country, it's a long, long enduring one, and it's entrenching gender inequality. It's pushing women out of the workplace due to them often taking on the lion's share of childcare.
Mm-hmm. There's an extraordinary figure that says 85% of mothers struggle to find childcare that fits around their work, leading to many of them having to leave the workplace.
Yeah, that is, yeah, as women's correspondent, you know, this is an issue I write about a lot. I've interviewed tons of mothers who've, you know, been, you know, they're either contemplating leaving work, they've left work, you know, increasing numbers of parents are racking up debt to fund childcare costs, and also growing numbers of women are having abortions as they can't afford to have kids.
So as we're coming up to an election, obviously we don't know quite when it's going to be in the UK, but it is imminent. Is it on the political agenda?
Yes, it is. Well, like historically, childcare has been an issue that's long been overlooked and neglected in this country, but it has massively climbed the political agenda in recent years, but still where near enough attention is given to it. But Jeremy Hunt, he declared a new childcare. He unveiled a major expansion of free childcare to attract voters last year. There's been loads and loads of issues with how it's being rolled out in reality.
Mm-hmm. It's one thing, as you said at the beginning, to say this is what we offer. But unless the places are there and the childcare services are staffed properly, it's pointless to have those policies in place.
Totally. People end up being, you know, bitterly disappointed parents. You mm-hmm. know, they make plans to, you know, go back to work and then they can't actually do that in reality when they realise, you know, those headlines that they saw are not quite what they seem. But yeah, the childcare sector is in a really fragile, volatile state. Waiting lists for childcare services are super long. Provision is patchy and inconsistent. Also, parents are facing an increase in nursery fees of up to 15% as they pick up the tab, essentially, are left by the funding gaps in the government's free childcare provision.
All right, Maya, thank you very much. And we want to go to Denmark and to Helen Russell, who's a journalist and author of How to Raise a Viking, The Secrets of Parenting, The World's Happiest Children. Helen, hello to you and thank you for joining us. And we are told that Nordic countries get it right when it comes to childcare. So can you talk us through the system in Denmark?
Yes, it is frustratingly good whenever I speak to friends back home from about this. Kids are guaranteed a place in high quality local government run nursery from 6 months old, and that's 75% subsidized by the government. They will stay in that nursery usually until they are around three, and then they'll move into a kindergarten from age three till age six. Don't start school till you're six in Denmark, and again that's 75% subsidized. So as a result, 80% of mothers work, and it's still a cost, but it's far, far lower. So I have three small children. I paid for the nursery around €450 a month, and then for the kindergarten part around €330 a month. Mm-hmm. And if you have a second child, it's half price for the second child. So yeah, it's a pretty good system.
And there's a really important cultural distinction to point out as well, where it is accepted across the board that this is what happens, this is what you do, you go back to work and your childcare place is there and available for you.
Absolutely, and there isn't that same parental guilt. It almost feels like a luxury in much of the world now to think, oh, will I stay at home with my child or will I go back to work when the economic necessity is that you often need two incomes there. But in the Nordic countries, it's much more the norm. Post-World War II, there was this emphasis on getting women in the workplace to get women's taxes to contribute to this welfare state that we all hear about from the Nordic countries. And having high-quality childcare just became the norm and the necessity. And so culturally, it's very accepted that that's what children do. And they all seem to thrive on it. Mm-hmm. I've only had quite good experiences of this.
And in all of the other places we've spoken to, we've heard about the staffing crisis, you know, very difficult to hire and to retain staff. Is that an issue there?
I would say that they are more highly respected. They do a BA, they are highly trained, but there's still issues that more and more are being asked to do more paperwork and more admin, for example, and then that time comes away from the children. And there has been a kind of dispute in the media over recent years about whether there are enough adults in the place and whether there are there is enough grown-up care around there, but generally it's a lot better than elsewhere. I think many would say they would like to be paid more, but it's not as bad as elsewhere.
So. All right. Well, Helen, thank you very much for telling us about the situation in Denmark. And let's talk about Ireland now. Ellen Coyne is sitting here in front of me, news correspondent with the Irish Independent. And following on from Ardeshna's season, we know that this is high on the political agenda as we look towards an election here as well. It's an area, though, in Ireland that needs an awful lot of work and an awful lot of investment.
Yep. Unfortunately, for a lot of parents in Ireland, having childcare is not only the equivalent to a mortgage payment. If you have more than one child, it can actually be the same as a salary, and it doesn't make a lot of economic sense for some women to go back to work at all. The Irish Independent did a survey run by six of my colleagues that found that there are around 35% of childcare places in Ireland have no spaces available for children at all. The highest childcare fees can be €1,500 a month if you're in South Dublin. It's almost impossible to get a baby room because they tend to be more expensive to run. So if you can't afford to take a full year's maternity leave, you could be left stranded with no childcare whatsoever. And for mothers who maybe want to try to work part-time once they have small children, that can be very difficult as well, because around a third of childcare providers will expect parents to pay for a full 5 days, even if they only use two or three.
Yeah, so you just can't get a part-time place.
You just can't do it.
And there are some parts of Ireland where trying to get a baby looked after is impossible. You just can't do it.
Yeah, and the reason is because those rooms tend to be more expensive to run. For obvious reasons, baby rooms require a higher ratio of staff. Mm-hmm. So a lot of creches will actually only start providing childcare from the time the baby is aged one, which proves very difficult to people who aren't in a position to take a full year's maternity leave beyond that statutory mm-hmm. 26 weeks.
You see, it's really interesting talking to Helen about what's happening in Denmark with this accepted cultural norm that when your baby is 6 months old, your child will go into childcare, which is provided for by the state and heavily subsidised. That is the norm, and it is obviously supported and paid for by every taxpayer. That's not the case here.
Exactly. And I think you've hit the nail on the head there. It's not just a difference in terms of state funding and state intervention and subsidies. It's actually an ideological difference. Like, going back to work after maternity leave can be difficult enough anyway, without the scramble to find a place. And then the struggle to kind of think, is this economically the best choice for your family if the cost of childcare is so high? Mm-hmm. And another really important trend that's emerging in Ireland, that's actually been accepted by Roderick O'Gorman, the children's minister himself, is that the cost of childcare is so high now, it's actually influencing family planning. Parents are trying to stagger the gap between the first child and a second child to avoid paying over €2,000 a month in childcare, which carries, unfortunately, the inherent risk of putting off having a baby and then potentially struggling when you do decide to try to get pregnant again. So when you're talking about things like that, shaping a family's destiny, you know, a woman's ability to go back to work, your decision to have the size family that you want, you're talking about a real break in the social contract there. So I'm not surprised that so many politicians are bringing this up at their Ardesh and are already looking towards the next election and the next budget, because for a lot of households in Ireland, this is their number one issue.
Yeah, it's a difficult one though, because unless you're in it, you don't understand it. I mean, I remember 10 years ago when I had my first child, and you open up this vista of, you know, how am I going to go back to work? How does this work? Well, it works if you can throw loads of money at it. You
know, exactly.
But if you're not in that, you don't really get it. And that's a problem for politicians.
It is, because it is a mistake to think that this is a household budgeting issue or just a cost of living issue. This can actually determine the shape, size and earning potential of your family. And it also works the other way. There are some women who, we hear a lot about economists talking about how mothers tend to come out of the workforce or work part-time. And we sometimes presume that that is a woman who's forced out of work against her will. There are some women who would actually choose to work within the home when their children are younger, but it's an economic necessity to have a two-parent household. But that creates a real grievance if a woman is going to work because she feels that she's forced to, and half of the money that she's earning is going on a creche that she doesn't actually want her child to be in. And, you know, I show up to my creche sometimes at 7:30 in the morning. That's when all the kids are being dropped off. They're not being collected again until 6:00 in the evening, and parents are paying through the nose for the privilege of it. And then the other side of things, you have, there's nothing worse as a parent than showing up to a creche and seeing all the gift bags because yet another childcare provider has had to leave because there's staffing shortages in the industry. It's very hard to pay a fair wage to compete with the cost of living in Ireland. And even though the government would say that public investment in childcare is at unprecedented levels of over €1 billion a year, the sector is still saying that it's not enough and they still need more government intervention if they're actually able to retain staff, run creches and open the desperately needed baby rooms that parents are crying out for.
Okay, and just a final question on this. You just wonder how it is going to be solved. You know, with the government saying we've never invested more in it, but you're saying parents aren't seeing that. It's not making a huge difference to them in terms of what they're spending and what they can access. So what is going to change it?
I think it's really interesting when you listen to Roderick O'Gorman talking about this core funding model. So this is money that goes directly from the government to the creches. It's separate to the subsidies that parents get to lower their bills. And he keeps talking about childcare as a public good. And I think when a lot of people are talking about how we solve the childcare crisis in Ireland, what they start to talk about is a publicly funded model where the taxpayer absorbs the cost through the exchequer. That requires an ideological shift. A lot of us pay taxes for hospitals that we might never use or roads that we might never drive on. People in the sector would argue that looking after children, making sure that that mothers can go to work if they want to, is a social good that all of us should be paying for through an entirely publicly funded childcare model.
Ellen, thank you very much. That's Ellen Coyne there, who's a reporter, news correspondent with the Irish Independent. Thank you very much for coming in.